on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielum.
Cody, it was an offensive firepower yesterday for the Cyclones. Jefferson led the way with 30 points as the Cyclones destroyed the UCF Knights 108.
Yeah, this game was a great rebound for the Iowa State Cyclones, obviously, having dropped that game at West Virginia, where your shooting was really bad. It was probably your worst performance on the year. So to come back home to Hilton and be able to put up not just a great offensive night, but also be able to put up triple digits, it really shows like the team did not take – like they responded well. That's the main message that I saw in this game.
Yeah, responded well, and also just shot better from 3, 9 of 22 from the 3-point stripe. So, what do you think was the big turning point in yesterday's game?
The turning point? Oh man, I mean, I think this was that string of back to back threes, maybe in that first half, where I think it was Jefferson or Gilbert, or it might have been Jones, but. I mean, you had those back-to-back threes, and I really think at that point you looked at, okay, this team looks like they learned from Saturday, and it's just from there. Once the lid was lifted off, I think it was starting to rain.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, let's talk about Demarion Watson. D-Watt, man, coming up off the bench, providing 11 points, and Nate Heisey also stepped up, gave the Cyclones 9 points yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this is great seeing Demarion Watson. He's getting a lot more minutes. And, I mean, this is kind of what I think a lot of fans around Iowa State want to see was Demarion Watson get more minutes, and he certainly has. So him being able to get 11 points and 5 rebounds about 11 minutes, he does great with his minutes. And I think Nate Heisey, I think he's finally found that his shot and landed. I mean, he finally got that three to drop, and I think now with that, Nate Heisey knows his shots can drop, and I think the lid for him has been lifted. So I think he can feel a little more confident with his shots.
Definitely, man. And just seeing Demarion Watson has the ability to make a shot and also just be a plus on the defensive side, that really, really gets me excited for the upcoming stretch, as well as when Milan gets back, because now you come have him off the bench come tournament time, especially if you guys are in a rut, especially if you need somebody defense, but you can also get a basket. He can be somebody that you can count on later in the season.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of the depth that I think some wanted to see. It's should be willing to do a 10-man rotation now that you know Milan's going to be out for a while. Why not play with a 9 or 10-man rotation? Obviously get Watson and Heisey their minutes, and maybe you can even try Noyes to get some minutes. Because you just got to figure out what you have right now, because I see no loss really in getting Noyes some minutes, because I mean, even when Noyes came in, in garbage time, he got himself a nice bucket. So it shows that he can play. He can ball out. He can ball. I just think that adaptability is something that I think the coaching staff learned, and they realized that maybe needs to change the approach a little bit in how they do rotations, and maybe instead of just sticking with 8-man, maybe go 9 or 10 deep.
Right. Now, how do you feel about Saturday's game with Arizona State? Because Arizona State, I believe, went into Morgantown and beat West Virginia. So West Virginia had a huge letdown last night.
Yeah, I just think with the Arizona State, I mean, that game was going on while the men's Iowa State UCF was going on. So I didn't really get to see too much. But it just kind of felt maybe if you're just a pure fan, from the fan standpoint, me, you felt a little bit salty, because there's no reason that West Virginia should have stunk the bet the way they did after beating us. But in a way, It also comes down to the fact that Arizona State basically controlled the game. I mean, they were up one at the half, but Arizona State went on, I believe, a 7-0 run to open the second half. And from there, West Virginia just could not keep up. I mean, you had Jaden Quintance, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He was the main guy for Arizona State, and I believe he's a freshman. So for him to go into Morgantown and put up a double-double with 15 points, 12 rebounds, that's an impressive showing in a place like Morgantown.
Definitely, man. I believe that that game is going to be pretty festive, a pretty like interesting game for the Cyclones on Saturday when they go to Tempe. I think it will be a 50-50 crowd. I know Chris Williams is going to be going out there for Arizona trip, but I know that they do have a pretty big alumni base in the Phoenix area. So if you are a Cyclone fan in the Arizona area, go out, make it out to Tempe, and go cheer on your Cyclones as we face Arizona State in the world. So I'm going to go and share my screen. We're going to look at some of the results last night and then look at some of the results for tonight. Results from last night and some of the games upcoming tonight in conference and across the basketball landscape.
Yeah, so while you're looking at anything like stood out from last night's action?
Yeah. So I think for me, the offense was a lot more fluid yesterday, I think, because you're just passing the ball around instead of just the ball being sucked to one person. I think that's really, really key. And then just Joshua Jefferson, his big night with 30 points. I think with him, if he can at least start hitting 2 to 3 threes a game, dude, I think for sure, I think I'll even say it could possibly be a lock that we could be a Final Four team, dude, because like once he has that game, you're like, dang, I thought we only had to worry about an inside, but he can make that three outside. I mean, that takes us to a whole different level offensively.
Mm-hmm. And I think some people were even saying, let me make some of the comparisons that Joshua Jefferson is starting to have his game look like George Niang. Niang could hit a few threes, and I mean, he was the main guy at the four, so that's the name everybody like the Joshua Jefferson being put in that same caliber. And I mean, I say this 30 point game, this felt like a quiet 30 points for Jefferson, because I think everybody was looking for like how the offense was moving. I mean, it was moving so well, I didn't even realize that Joshua Jefferson had 30 points. So I think it's just a great thing to see, and I would love to see this. If Jefferson can get those threes going, yeah, it's going to be way more difficult to guard Iowa State because it adds that extra versatility for them. Mm-hmm. And then you bring that alongside Milan, like, you know, Milan's going to bring, you expect him to knock a few threes down. I mean, Curtis, we know Curtis, and now I think Keyshawn's found some confidence now that he can like get to the paint more and is better at like fighting those tough shots to the rim. And then Tame Lissy can continue to distribute the ball and move the offense around, get the basketball to the playmakers and the shot makers.
Yeah, and one thing you said was confidence, Cody. His outside shot definitely looked a lot better yesterday as well for Keyshawn. So, you know, he's getting it at the right time. This is sort of like a point in the schedule where we do have some tough games coming up with Arizona coming up next week, and we also have KU coming up and K-State, and then we're in the stretch run of our schedule, man. But with that, we will close the UCF game, and we're gonna take a look at the men's basketball schedule, and then after that, we'll look at tonight's slate, and then we'll do a brief preview on Arizona State. All right. So we already talked about Arizona State, West Virginia. So Texas Tech, Cincinnati. Texas Tech goes on the road to Cincinnati and wins by 10. JT Toppin was the leading scorer with 20 points.
Yeah, I think Texas Tech is proving that. I'd say this. I think Texas Tech deserves to be ranked. And, I mean, they're showing it for certain with the way they've been playing this year. They do deserve to be ranked. I mean, you come off beating the brace off of Arizona by 60, and then you don't let like that be a kind of a, you don't get too hung over from that games, and you go to Cincinnati, who Cincinnati has been a little bit disappointing this year, at least to the expectations that they had in the preseason. And yeah, JT Toppin, big performer in that game. I mean, he also had contributions from Christian Anderson, Chance McMillan, and then Overton as well. So you got pretty good distribution of scoring across the board with four guys in double digits. And this was a really quiet night for Elijah Hawkins as well. Normally, he's known for distributing the, well, for, but he still had three assists. And I mean, that's kind of where a lot of his game goes, is getting that. And he also added three steals on the day. So he was getting it done even if he wasn't scoring. And he obviously goes 3 of 3 at the free throw line. So pretty solid day for Elijah Hawkins when he can supplement the rest of the team.
Definitely. Yeah, one thing I was going to say is that, like, you know, usually after you, you know, play a ranked team at home, you're like, fans are, like, expecting, like, a letdown on the road, but they're keeping their momentum going. And I will say, I think that Texas Tech has cemented itself as definitely, like, a top four team in this league.
For sure. I would say as well.
All right, so Arizona, the next game down, they win by 14 on the road. Caleb Love got hot yesterday in Gallagher, Iowa, as he scores 27 points as the Wildcats win 92-78.
Yep, and I mean, we just mentioned it. Obviously, Arizona losing by 16 in Lubbock. So they come out with a great response, similar to Iowa State, and they just absolutely control the game. Like, well, actually, Arizona-Oklahoma State, it was a close game. Like, I think at one point it was tied at 16 apiece. And then I just think Caleb Love was able to really, obviously, Caleb Love, the leading scorer, was 27 points. He really took command of Arizona, and they were able to really will this game for Arizona. And even though Oklahoma State made their runs, Arizona was able to respond with runs of their own, and ultimately they win that game by 14. So great road win for Arizona.
Yeah, very great road win for Arizona. We play them Monday night at 9:30. So, Cyclone fans, if you're planning to watch that game, make sure you get your nap in and drink the energy drink so you won't fall asleep. Me, I'm just going to have to rewatch it because I got to work early, so I ain't watching that. Sorry.
I mean, for me, it's on the line thing because, I mean, now that I'm officially, like, in school, it's obviously we're right back to, like, school and whatever. So, classes, I mean, I'm glad I don't have a 8 a.m., but I do have, like, an 8:50 of the following day. But yeah, I can make reservations. I might be able to watch this game and, like, just go to sleep, and I think I'll be okay. But we'll see how I feel. But generally, students, like, depending on when your classes are, you may or may not be able to watch this game.
Yeah, be smart. Yeah, that's all I got to say, be smart. And then BYU finally redeemed itself after that terrible loss to Utah. They go on the road into Boulder and beat Colorado.
Yeah, this was the 10 p.m. tip-off, and I somehow managed to watch this game. For whatever reason, I just decided, you know what? I just got home from the UCF game. I'm like, you know, I might as well watch it. Because, I mean, I think today I didn't have anything going on until like 11, so I could stay up and watch that late. Gotta love that Big 12 really after dark, and that's what it was.
Big 12 after dark, Cody, you basketball sicko. Yeah, that... Yeah, Colorado just continues to struggle, man. And like you said, and I think that you said it yourself, that they were probably going to be the worst team in this conference. So that puts a wrap on last night's schedule. Let's look at tonight's schedule. There's only going to be three games on the slate. They're at 5 p.m. tonight. We have Utah going on the road to Houston.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Utah coming off that very like emotional win, obviously, rivalry win, the Holy War. God, I don't know. Utah, it's gonna be they're going up against Houston, and I don't envy any really good chance for Utah. Even though you maybe get a good shooting performance out of like the Madsen twins, I don't think it's gonna be enough to keep up with Houston's defense. And I think Houston may turn Utah over like a lot, and will thrive off of that.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the score's gonna be something similar to like how we beat them. I definitely think Houston covers tonight. And then Kansas goes on the road to Fort Worth to play TCU. And this is a TCU team that's coming off a very good win in Waco against Baylor. I believe that was that game was Sunday.
Yeah, I think that was like I think that was the sole Big 12 game on Sunday. So, I mean, yeah, final like get the game winning three. Now you're at home to host Kansas. The line does say it's KU minus 6.5. When I first saw that, I was surprised, but I mean, as I look closer into the games, look at the way each team's performed, I could maybe see why Kansas is only a 6.5-point favorite. It's just the way that Kansas has really been able to find much on offense. We saw that when we hosted them. I mean, Kansas, they did score like a good, like they won 84-74 against Kansas State, but I mean, that doesn't really, it really doesn't move me. I don't feel moved by that. Even though they had that 14-0 start, I just don't feel moved by the Kansas performance on Saturday. I mean, Hunter Dickinson had 25 points. Zeke Mayo had 24. DeJuan Harris was 15 in that game against Kansas State. But I don't know. I don't know if that 6.5 line is like, I don't know.
No, I feel you, man. I see why KU is 6.5, because it's really just, like you said, they were playing one of the worst teams in the league on Saturday in K-State. So, like, I mean, yeah, that 14-0 start doesn't really move me because it's K-State. So, obviously, you should expect to beat them. And obviously, and going into this final game and the conference slate is an 8 p.m. start. K-State goes on the road to Waco to face Baylor. Both these teams are reeling. Coming off of losses, K-State, really everybody really thought that they would have laid down on Saturday, but they actually showed pretty good fight, only losing by 10 at Allen Fieldhouse, and then Baylor, like we said, losing by 3 points at home to TCU. So, what do you think is going to happen in this one?
I think maybe Baylor is going to. I mean, this is just going to be two teams that are coming off like rivalry games, so. We'll see, like, who has, like, a tough, like, who's got more grit, more toughness in them, because I think K-State, they may not have much to lose, and Baylor right now, I mean, there's still something, because even though Baylor hasn't really performed up to the expectations that maybe we would have expected heading into the Big 12 season, they're tied with 7, so I think Baylor still wants to be able to at least fight to have a chance to get, like, maybe a top 4 seed and to keep up with Texas Tech and Kansas for that top 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament, but to get a better seeding for the NCAA tournament. So Baylor might come out with an extra chip on their shoulder because they still have things to fight for, and maybe that'll be what helps them win this game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Baylor's definitely going to have to get some more key wins to going down the stretch so they want to make it to the tournament. So I just switched it over to tonight's slate. I mean, I don't really see that many notable games, and the only one that I really see, because there's a lot of it's mid-major madness basically right now today. So if you are a college basketball sicko, this is going to be your night. The only ones that I sort of really see that are interesting is number 5 Florida going on the road to South Carolina. And the only reason why I think that this game is interesting is because Missouri went on the road yesterday to Austin and lost to Texas. So, I mean, and we've seen how crazy the SEC can get. Like, we saw Tennessee lose on the road to Vanderbilt. But we'll see how Florida does going on the road to Columbia tonight.
Yeah, for this game. I mean, Florida, their last game, yeah, coming off that, 24-point win over Texas.
Yeah.
That's something to imagine. Maybe Florida is feeling great. I mean, they're still like a top 10 team. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're trying to stick with, Duke, Auburn, and Iowa State, to get in that, like, one line between them, Alabama, Tennessee, and then Marquette, I think. All 4 of those teams are going to be fighting for that last 1 seed. So this will be this will have to be Florida taking care of business in order to ensure that they are still in the race to get that final 1 seed.
Yeah, and the good thing is, the good thing for Florida is that Florida plays Auburn and Alabama a few weeks down the line in these next couple of weeks. everything will sort itself out probably by, we'll know by the end of February who the number one seeds will be. And then another game that I see that's interesting is Xavier going to New York and going to play St. John's at St. John's.
Yeah. I mean, looking at Xavier, I take, like, they're most like, I mean, recently, yeah, they're coming off that 2-point win at Marquette and at the Pfizer Forum. So you know Xavier's got to be feeling really good about themselves because now they just took down one of the best teams in the Big East, and now they get a chance to play another, like, the second of the top two in the Big East. So who knows? This would be a great opportunity for Xavier to cause some they could cause some chaos here in the Big East.
And, like, you know, with their schedule, they're 500 in the Big East right now. And obviously, with their tournament resume, I mean, they lost a close one at Cincinnati when they're ranked. And they lost a close one at UConn earlier in the season. And only lost by two to Marquette at when they played them at home. Getting a win over Marquette and getting another win here at St. John's. And then you face UConn at home on Saturday. Or no, that'd be Sunday. No, Saturday. On Saturday. I mean, this is a golden opportunity to these next two games. And then we can see if Xavier could move up from being a bubble team. Like, you know, overall, like, how are you feeling about the season so far? Or how are you feeling about, like, the rest of the season?
I think from a national standpoint, I mean, we clearly have established that, like, top tier, like, group, which would be Auburn, Duke, Iowa State. I think your next tier would have to be Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Marquette. And then I'm trying to determine who would be, like, the third tier. Who would be, like, that tier below those seven? I feel like...
You probably would say, like, A&M, Ole Miss...
I got it here, but yeah, where would you put Houston and Michigan State?
Yeah, Houston, Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State still has to prove itself. So, like, if Michigan State can move up, depending on how they end the season. But the Big Ten has also been pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, you want to talk about the Big Ten? Last night, I believe Ohio State actually went into the Mackey Arena and beat Purdue.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, that game was insane. I was like, and so Purdue is still, you know, they've lost a lot of talent, but they're a really good team in the Big Ten, man. So I'm really just, you know, that's a schedule or a conference that I'm going to be looking very, very close at, because they're probably going to get at least about probably eight, or at least half their league into the tournament. But I am just going to look at the last question I wanted to ask you is, I mean, here we go. We're looking at the Big 12 standings. And as we stand right now, obviously Iowa State is a half game behind Houston. And this is our top four right now. Like, do you think that this top four will stay intact, or do you think that this top four is going to look the same by the time we get to, what, March 9th or whatever, or March 5th or whatever the last game is?
It possibly. I mean, Houston and Iowa State for sure. Those should be the two main horses. Texas Tech, I think, will have a case to be a top four team. And then it would have to be between Arizona, Kansas, and West Virginia to be that fourth team. Because West Virginia, I mean, even after that loss to Arizona State, I still think they could be the number four team in the Big 12. Arizona still needs to prove itself. Because I feel like even though, yes, they did it on a hot streak, that loss at Texas Tech really hampers them a little bit. And I just think Arizona still needs to show more about why they could be a top four team in the Big 12. And then Kansas, I mean... Who knows? They have, if they are able to adapt, they able are to get out of this rut that they're in right now, they can be a number like top four team in the country. But I think your most likely top four would be Houston, Iowa State, Texas Tech. I'm gonna lean West Virginia over Arizona just because Arizona, they need to prove it to me. And I think West Virginia, they have the capabilities of being the number four team.
I mean, the good thing about this, Cody, is that a lot of the questions that we have are going to be ironed out in the next month or so, because we play like all these teams within the next few games. So I don't know if do you have anything else that you would like to bring up or any other topics?
No, but I guess just real quick. I mean, the women's team is back at Hilton for two games this week. Tonight they're going to be taking on the BYU Cougars. It'll be a 6:30 tip off at ESPN Plus, and then they will also face UCF on Saturday at 4 p.m. local time. And both of those games, looking at the women's standings, BYU and UCF are like two of the bottom teams in the Big 12. So this is a great opportunity for the women's team to get back on their feet after that loss at West Virginia, where they just got beat with Press Virginia. So I think this week should be a get right kind of week for them. Get some wins under your belt and then still be in contention in the Big 12.
All right. Thank you for that shameless plug, Cody. Don't forget to watch the ladies at Hilton this week and this weekend. Once again, thank you guys and thank you for the live stream. So it goes everybody that always watch our live stream. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. We are on any podcast contributor that you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review and to leave us a good review on the show. Also, we can be found on social media. We are found on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and also LinkedIn now. You can also just type in my name, Tyler Curtis, and you can find the live stream videos there. So thank you guys for tuning in. Look out for our next reaction show, maybe Sunday, maybe Monday. So one of those days, that's the one we usually record. So thank you guys once again. Also, if you guys are trying to reach out on Twitter, I can be found at SciTie Guy, Cody at Matt Campbell Impersonator. So, for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go, State.